Mendoza.
What's that?
Hat.
What's wrong with my hat? Because you're not wearing one. Dustin and I have hats on. In case you're listening and you can't see us, Dustin and I are wearing hats and Jeff is not wearing a hat, so he has to lord it over us. Dustin, are you bald?
Not even close.
Remember, he had hair a couple weeks ago. Long hair.
That's right. We're like, what the fuck? Yeah, I hardly ever see you without a hat. There's Jeff.
That's good. Jeff, Mazel tov.
Yeah, Mazel tov. Jeff has his bowl yarmulke on his head. Jeff's half Jewish, so I mean, if you could wear it and get away with it, I suppose. But he does go through life using a full Bible since he's a Catholic boy. I'm a Catholic boy. We got Catholic shit coming up. You know, I found out, speaking of Catholics, you know, we want to get our son Gilbert christened in the church, you know, get him baptized so he can wipe away his original sin and all that stuff. But you have to take class. You have to take a class to go do this. And I don't understand it. I don't know why. Why you got to go to class to have a guy pour holy water and bless your son, get rid of all the nasty evil
stuff? They want to try and get you coming back to church and giving them money every week.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah. My wife's Episcopal. So we did the same thing with our kids and all of them, all three, we had to take like a little meeting class kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, you know, you could pay a guy who's a minister to go out to a river and just dunk him in the water, I guess. But, you know, we'll go that route and take the classes, support the church and everything. Hi, I hope everybody had a good week. I hope everybody has had a chance to listen to our latest interview with W. Earl Brown. I believe that's our third, if I'm not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we really had a good conversation and talked about what he does when he's not, you know, working on films or television shows. We talked about American Sausage Standoff, which is one of the two movies that are currently available for video on demand. You have to pay to watch them. Isn't that amazing? But they're both good. Jeff, you've seen both, right?
Yeah.
What's the second one called? I forget.
No Man of God. It's a Ted Bundy movie, but it's mostly about that FBI agent that's the profiler that worked with him at the end when he was in Florida on death row.
Mm-hmm.
And W. Earl does he does all the voiceover on the trailer, which sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And W. Earl plays the warden, but he's only in a few scenes, but he's the warden of the prison that Ted Bundy's in.
The other day I was fucking around in my car, and when I'm in my car, I do practice impressions and stuff. And I thought that I'd nailed an impression of W. Earl Brown, but now I'm not confident doing it, so I'm not going to do it. But I was in my car just talking like him, like the whole way to work, and now I'm embarrassed, so I don't want to do it. But it was pretty good. Not him as a character or anything, but you know, just talking to him and stuff. So yeah, thought it was.
I'll work on my Al Swearengen impersonation, and we can do it some other episode.
Why don't you do a little bit of your Al Swearengen right now?
I don't have one.
Yes, you do. You got something worked out, don't you?
No.
Speaking of Deadwood cast members, Dustin was a little concerned that I'd wished a happy, you know, I've been doing those happy birthday texts and you know, stuff like that, which I think is fun. And once I start thinking that it's work, I probably will stop doing it. But I think this time I've gone a lot longer than I did last time. Anyway, Jeffrey Jones had a birthday last week, and Dustin was concerned, and I said, well, that's why I put the picture of him as Principal Rooney from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, because that was pre art. What didn't call it art? Yeah, that art book with naked girls in it, and he's like, yeah, it's art.
Yeah, that was...
I don't want to delve into it too much, but...
No, I just thought you were... I mean, whether you wish happy birthday to his character or to him, people are going to assume it's him.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, but hey, he still continued to get work even after all of that, so that's why I'm like, well, maybe people have forgiven him, but I guess it's unforgivable sin and we will no longer continue speaking about that.
I can't look at the arcade scene in Ferris Bueller anymore without just thinking back of my head. Oh yeah.
Well, he put a quarter on the machine because that meant he was next.
Yeah.
And then you followed it up with a tweet about Mr. Rogers.
Well, they're the same day, right? I can't control that. Mr. Rogers, what was the Mr. Rogers?
It was tweet? National Neighbors Day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Trying to work into those weird, every day is a holiday or something. Thank God.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knew about any of this shit until social media came along. You know, you didn't know today is National, you know, Toilet Paper Day. And you didn't know about it, you know?
Today's podcast day.
I know. The day that we're recording this is International Podcast Day. So I put something out there about that. Let's see. Okay. Let's put a little bow on that. Thanks again, W. Earl Brown. And please come on anytime. Oh, I wanted to say, you know, if you haven't had a chance, check out Sacred Cowboys, that tune that he was telling us about, their most recent tune, which is on YouTube. It was like, what is the name of that? John Lee something or other.
Valentine. Yeah.
Yeah. John Lee Valentine. It's a great little song and a cool video. And somehow one way or another, it is attached to Dan Doherty, which is his character from Deadwood, which he explains. If you haven't seen or listened to that podcast yet, go ahead and go back and grab it and listen. But let's see, got some things to talk about. I want to thank returning Radio Labyrinth patron. You know, people sometimes will join and then they have to go away for whatever reason. And sometimes they come back. That's happened a number of times. Marty Johnson, thank you very much for being one of those people who came back. We appreciate it and thank you. And if you'd like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, you can go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Sign up at any level. If you sign up as a producer and you'll see that level there, you will have your choice of one of our t-shirts and I'll send you some stickers. Speaking of t-shirts, the link is in the show notes. We have brand new t-shirts and merchandise with artwork from our friend Fuxi, who does the really, really good cartoons and the animated stuff. And he drew us a la in the manner of the cast of What We Do in the Shadows. And I think the artwork came out really well and Jeff colored it and it looks great. So we have some stickers, I believe. We have some glassware, mugs, and you can find those in the link. We also have t-shirts at our OG t-shirt store, which is courtesy of Store Frontier, which is a local Atlanta business. So I like to use them whenever possible. They just don't have cups and glasses and things like that. So I had to go to Cafe Press, who I also, Jeff did a bunch of really cool, you know, mashup sticker art like he did before. And I uploaded them to Cafe Press to sell stickers. And they all got kicked off because of copyright violations, which I didn't think they could do if you tweaked them a little bit, but whatever. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and order those from Sticker Mule, and some one way or another, we'll get them to you. But they're cool, and everybody loves stickers, you know. You
can, yeah, they look good.
Put them on your computer. Yeah, the artwork's great, Jeff. Let's see. Steph is out this week. Obviously, she's not here. You don't see her, but she'll be back next week. We have a new element to Views or Snooze, and that is a little introduction that is done by Roby. And if we can get that in this week, we will. If not, it'll be in the next show. But I want to thank him for doing that. And what else do we got to talk about? That's it for I guess that's housekeeping for if you
talk about your pet spider.
Oh god, yeah, well, that's not housekeeping, and I haven't decided whether to kill it or not. Dustin, I'm sure you're aware of these things. I wasn't aware of them. I went out the other night to take the trash out, and you know, we have right next to the carport, we have, you know, some woods or whatever. And I saw this gigantic freaking spider. I mean, it's almost as big as my hand with its, you know, with its legs and everything. It's this big ass weird, looks like one of those things walking around in the Matrix that's feeding the humans. And I said, well, this doesn't look like a regular orb spider. You know, those big black and white orb spiders that you see.
Yeah, people they used to call them riding spiders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, you know, this is weird, but this is some weird big ass thing. So I took a picture of it and then I Googled it. And it turns out it's an invasive species called the Joro spider. And it comes from Japan and other parts of Asia. And I looked it up online. There was an article from 2015 that there people are seeing them in Georgia, and apparently now they're all over Georgia and probably will spread all over the Southeast. But this thing is fucking huge, and they make these weird 3D webs. Like they make a regular web and then they surround that web with like a box or something, and they're scary looking.
So, yeah, I see them in horticulture, which is my day job. I see a lot of yards. I see a lot of trees and bushes, and we've been at the shop. We've been kind of going back and forth asking people, how many can you count? And I stopped at 30 today.
Today, just one
just
day.
Today. Yeah, just one day. I stopped counting at 30. But yeah, they're everywhere. I mean, they are invasive and they are new to Georgia, and they've been around for a couple of years. But this year, with all the rain that we're having, which in turn breeds more gnats, more mosquitoes, more food source. Yeah, they're literally everywhere. And they're running off a couple of different species of spider. Most of the time you see like a crown spider, which is like a little black spider that has little spikes on it. And those are usually the ones in Georgia that make those webs in between your house and a tree, under a street light, something like that. And those we've been used to for years, but these are like, yeah, they're like the size of a dinner plate, the big ones.
Yeah.
We've seen some that are bigger than my hand.
Really?
Yeah. With their legs out. Yeah. They're huge. They're like 7 inches across from foot to foot.
Now, are they poisonous?
No. Well, they're not. No, they don't attack as a defense. They're just bug eaters.
Okay, good. So
and other spider eaters.
Yeah, you know, I saw the one that's in my carport has two or three of those horrible brown marmulated blah 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 stink bugs. Those other fucking things that came over here from Asia that get all over your house and stink.
Oh, it's a taste of home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I don't know. So these are just here and they're never going to go away. I read an article that said that they're going to be a ton of them this year, and then eventually they'll balance themselves out in the ecosystem.
Yeah. They'll have to, a predator will come in that finds them, something that eats spiders. Birds will pick them up. And once it gets into a rhythm, it takes about 4 or 5 years, but they'll equal themselves out. It's just nature loves to balance itself like that.
They eat hummingbirds, I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
The webs are strong enough to capture hummingbirds. That's not cool.
It's because of like you said, they'll make one web and then it'll look like they make three webs, full complete webs next to the original web. Yeah. And it does. It looks like a box of webs. And so, yeah, a bird will fly into it, get caught in the first one and then get hung up in the other two. And then it gets them.
Evolution is a wonderful thing. And then I read in Japan, they found a way to make silk out of that spider's,
silk.
But to use it like to make bulletproof vests and stuff like that. So that's pretty interesting.
Yep. Stronger than steel.
Stronger than steel. So welcome to welcome south. welcome to the old south. We got these Joro spiders and they're coming down here and eating all of our other spiders and all of our June bugs and all of our worker bugs. If they can start eating those wood roaches, that would be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. Then go after palmetto bugs.
But those palmetto bugs are probably a lot more sanitary than some disgusting German cockroach that's in your house.
Oh, yeah. They just have the stigma.
Yeah, because, well, they're big and scary and they fly.
They fly.
At your head. Yeah.
It'd be crazy. Yeah, they do fly at your head and they'll fly right into your house. They'll fly against your door and they'll be waiting there and you open the door a crack and they go right in. Remember Jeff and I lived together. I had a cat named Squeaker. Rest in peace. But remember, we would find a trail of ants, and then if you lifted up the chair, there'd be a half-eaten palmetto bug under the chair. And speaking of cats, my last cat, who you know I had to put down a little over a year ago, Sherman. We had a moth problem this year. We've never had moths before, and I put two and two together. Like Sherman would eat moths, and I would see him eating them constantly. So, you know,
yeah, cats they love to bat them.
Bat them. Oh God. So that's it for everything. It is spooky season. Speaking of spiders, and one thing people were saying about these Joro spiders is that if you have a ton of them, you don't need to go buy fake webbing to put on your bushes because they make enough and it looks eerie and scary.
That's true.
Yeah. I've only seen one. So, but I'm not going to go traipsing through the backyard looking for more. I don't want to get hit in the face. People are saying they get hit in the face with the webs or whatever when they're cutting the grass. Level it all. I don't want any trees, just grass. No bushes, no trees, just level it all.
But then your house will get struck by lightning.
Yeah.
Natural lightning rods.
That's what my neighbor told me that one night. Which,
why would you cut down your trees? Natural.
Oh, makes anybody. Anyway, makes me want to work more on my on my only murders in the building impression. What's that girl's name again? I'm having a brain.
Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez. Yes, it's tough to do that. What you had?
I'll get it. I just got practice.
Speaking brain of, freeze.
Yes, that was a good episode this week. It was a very good episode. The production value and the writing, the whole, you know, where the deaf kid and
it was a very silent episode because you're doing it from the deaf guy's POV.
Yeah, and everything was ASL, American Sign Language, with subtitles. It was a really cool episode. That's a good show. I'm glad it got picked up for another season. But we have contentious discussion to have right now, and Jeff's going to get mad at me for saying this, but I can't watch season two of Ted Lasso. I love season one. I love him. I love Jason Sudeikis. I love his character. I just can't watch it. It's just...
What's the crux for the second?
We won't talk about the real reason Tim won't watch it. We'll just talk about whatever Tim's fake reason is.
What do you think the real reason is before I tell you the fake reason?
Because of who Rebecca started dating.
Who does Rebecca start dating? Spoiler alert, by the way. Well, no, who does Rebecca start dating? I don't care. Spoiler.
That's the whole reason you won't watch.
Oh, is it a girl? A woman?
No.
It's a guy.
Yeah.
All right. I thought the way they're setting it up, this is how far we are in it. And by the way, my wife thinks I'm nuts and agrees with you, but telling me I'm an idiot for thinking this. But
yeah, you are an idiot.
But Rebecca, they're leading you to believe that she and Ted Lasso are going to hook up. Is that what happens?
I'm not telling.
All right.
Only watching the first season and haven't started the second yet, I could see that being a storyline for sure.
Yeah. That's where a typical sitcom would take you.
Right.
Will they or won't they? Find out on the season finale of Cheers. But that lasted a long time. I get a This Is Us feeling off of it. And it's bothering me. I get that the show's emotional and everything, but then this whole element of the guy from Nigeria, you know, what do you think about on Christmas morning? Colonialism. All right, we get it, you know. This show's a hit in U.S. audiences. The United States, as far as I know, didn't colonize Nigeria.
People who watch the show know that I am correct and you are wrong right now.
Well, a lot of people are noping out as well.
No, fuck those people. They don't deserve Ted Lasso. Fuck them.
Ted Lasso's a nice guy. His assistant coaches are nice guys.
Fucking season has been a masterpiece, and anybody who says different can go fuck themselves.
Well, I'm going to go fuck myself because I think it's getting ridiculously sappy and woke and boring.
Nope.
I was talking to my daughter about it. She started watching it, and she called me and she was like, "Hey, Ted Lasso, I'm glad you told me about it. It's a great show." And I was like, "Yeah." And she goes, "It's so feel good." And what we were talking about was that when we were kids and watching TV shows, there were parts of the TV shows that were as good as Ted Lasso growing up. Those feel good moments, those moments that stuck with you throughout, you know, growing up.
The very special episodes.
Well, not so much the very special episodes, but like just the like fun things that happened in episodes, things that stuck with you, like just nice things that would happen. You know, they would actually write into a syndicated television show that they've stopped doing, you know, from like the 90s on. And this whole generation hasn't seen any feel good thing like that without something attached to it. And the first season didn't have anything attached to it. That's why I'm wondering if, you know, that it feels like with this second season that they buttered you up for the first season just to mess with your head in the second season.
Well, the psychologist drives me nuts too. I don't understand why that character is there or why it's needed. I just find that boring and useless and not important to the plot.
No, you're absolutely wrong.
Oh, I'm absolutely correct. It's how I feel. I'm living my truth as the young people.
I'm going to have to jump into the second season just to see what
she's integral to the plot with Ted Lasso in season two. And it's so much so that people are shipping the psychiatrist and Ted Lasso, which is absolutely fucking wrong because she's a professional psychiatrist and she would never date a patient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That never happened.
What do you mean shipping? I didn't hear.
That's just shipping when the people, they like what you're saying, people were shipping Ted Lasso and Rebecca from season one. Mm-hmm. That's what, when they want them to be in a relationship.
Well, the thing that really bothered me, and again, spoiler alert,
okay,
was the one guy's getting this money The guy from Nigeria is going to get a big sponsorship to do a Dubai Air ad for, you know, buses and subways and shit like that. And then he gets a note from his dad saying, I can't believe you would sell yourself to do this. And then all of a sudden, this sponsored football team says, well, we're going to cover up the logo. If that happened in real life, she would have lost. Rebecca would have been fired. And all those team members would have been shuffled off to other teams or just let go and fired. But there's no consequence for that in this. And it's ridiculous plot line because that would never happen. They would just fire the guy.
No, she can't be fired because she owns the team.
Well, I'm saying that
they can protest a sponsor of the thing by putting tape over it. That's the right of their team. And they end up, spoiler alert, they end up dumping Dubai Air, and Dubai Air ends up pulling out of Nigeria, which is what Sam wanted in the first place.
Did that really happen in real life?
I don't know. I don't follow that shit, but
it happened.
I can see that happening. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't buy it. I don't think you could do that here for sure.
You're too fucking skeptical. Fuck you.
I'm not skeptical.
You are.
It's sappy pablum.
No.
Uh-huh.
Totally wrong.
No. Nope,
you don't deserve Ted Lasso. You're forbidden to watch from now on.
No problem.
You don't have to. Okay, I did have a callback from last week's show that I wanted to bring up. We talked about Elvira and her book.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying that she came out as a lesbian to promote the book.
I just said that she's been a lesbian for a long time.
Right.
I'm just saying that it's news now in conjunction with the book and the special.
Right. But what I think was, because the next day after we recorded and stated that in her new book, she says that Wilt Chamberlain raped her.
Ugh.
Right. So I think that her coming out was less publicity for the book and more of getting it out of the way so that it couldn't be used against her when she came out with these accusations.
Well, why would I'm not using it against her?
No. I'm just saying you were. I'm just saying she was doing that as opposed to. I mean, yes, it could be used to sell the book, but I think to me it seemed like more of a let me get this out of the closet, so to speak, and out of the way first, because this next revelation is coming, you know, in a couple of days, and it could, you know.
He's dead, right?
Is he?
I don't know if he's dead or alive, because I don't really. I mean, he wasn't playing basketball when I was old enough to even pay attention to it, really.
Says he was an American basketball player. Yeah, he died in 1999.
Yeah. 1999. So the thing about Wilt Chamberlain was he was always bragging about how many women that he had slept with.
Yeah, he was one of the first to have that, you know, that list. Was it him and Gene Simmons?
Yeah.
Going back and forth.
And Southside Steve.
Yeah, Southside. Not quite as many. I think he has 10% of the amount of Wilt Chamberlain, but I didn't know that. And wow, but he's not around to defend himself.
To defend himself, right? That's true.
It's on Wilt Chamberlain's Wikipedia page now that he sexually assaulted her during a party at his Bel Air mansion in the 1970s.
So somebody can put that on the Wikipedia page. No, there's no way that he can defend himself. And I'm not saying that she's not telling the truth. I'm just saying that, you know, when somebody's dead, you know,
she says she blamed herself for all these years until the Me Too movement started, and then she realized that it wasn't her fault.
Well, it's never a woman's fault, ever. That's 100% true. I'm glad that the one thing I like about that, it's a teaching all the young girls that are out there that no, this isn't, has nothing to do with me. This is this asshole.
Man, to speak up.
Yeah. Like on that show, broadcast, what is it? The morning show. To a degree, I think they did a good job with the Stephen Carell character and kind of mirroring what happened with Matt Lauer and how Matt Lauer, I mean, first of all, he didn't have a buzzer that would lock people in, the buzzer that was put in there after 9/11. So that's one thing. But the true thing about that is he used his power and his position to get younger women to fuck him. And that's kind of what Steve Carell's character did on this show too. And, you know,
I mean, lots of people are doing it. Letterman did it.
He did.
Yeah.
Did do it. Maybe not to that degree, but he did do it. And that's just was the norm at the time. And it's not the norm anymore. And that's a good thing because people want to get involved. Women want to get involved in the workplace environment. They don't want to have some guy breathing down. Oh, if you want to get ahead, you're going to have to fuck. ridiculous. It's insane. I just read a story and I don't remember what market it was in. There was a morning show DJ and he's been there for 20 some years and maybe longer than that. And it's a top 40 station. One of the producers was there and he used to make her give him head. And it was very specific, twice a month in order for her to continue her job. And then she said she didn't want to do it anymore. And he started threatening her. And to me, that's just, I don't understand it. I don't get
it. Is that why you never took the producer job with the regular guys?
Oh, I did have the producer job. How do you think I got it? I had to double team. I had to take both. Never mind. I don't want
to make that wobbly H.
It's just, yeah, it's just this poor person, you know, had to suck some creepy dude's dick in order to work as a producer. And she stayed there for a long time. And then last year, you know, a lot of media companies let people go because of the COVID pandemic. By the way, we can't talk about that shit too much anymore because YouTube's really cracking down. You know, you have to say the exact, we don't get the memos from the alphabet groups telling us exactly what to say. So we would best just not talk about it, you know, in a roundabout way. Let's think of a name for the virus that we can say that people won't understand what we're talking about. The Koof, that's already taken. That's a meme. We'll think about it and get back to you. But just to put a cap on it, you know, I hope she wins and I hope she sues the fuck out of him because that's a terrible environment for, especially, yeah, like I said, for women to be in media and news, and that went on forever. But I think those days are way in the past, way, way, way in the past.
Yeah, it'll die out with this generation, thank God.
With our generation, the Gen X, we knew that it was wrong, but continued to do it anyway, a lot of people. But the generations below us, nah, it ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
But on the flip side of that is they have a very difficult time doing conflict resolution because it takes 7-8 steps to get there. Well, this is how I feel. Well, this is how I feel. Well, this is how I feel. Well, go do it anyway. Oh, you were mean to me.
Yeah, they'll never make it to resolution because it'll fall out during the whole process.
Yeah, exactly. I can call back to when I went up to see Fish, the 3-day festival that wasn't rained out. This was, I guess, in 2015. And so we were camped next to these millennials in a tent, and the two dudes were fighting with each other. But instead of just getting up and fighting each other, they went back and forth for an hour and a half. Dude, you need to respect my boundaries. Well, you need to respect what I'm saying. Well, I'm listening to you. They're like, I'm going to kick your ass. It finally got to, I'm going to kick your ass. But it took a long time. You know, it was just funny to listen to, but it wasn't funny because I was trying to sleep. But anyway, yeah, too sappy. But again, I love all the characters except for a couple. So tell me who Rebecca's dating.
Nah, I won't. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, he's going to hold it.
I'll just go to Google. Who is Rebecca dating on Ted Lasso, on Ted Riata? Three S's. That's a porn. Sam.
You don't know who Sam is?
Yeah, I do. The Nigerian guy.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. They had chemistry at the end of the first season. So when he came in and was talking, she took that one. You know, she looked at him like he thought. You know, he was going to ask her out. That kind of opened that up to me. But yeah,
didn't bother maybe he'll lighten up and quit worrying about the Chinese stealing oil from Nigerians. So anyhow, it is Halloween season, spoopy season. Who came up with that? That just started showing up a couple of years ago. Spoopy, spoopy, spoopy.
I looked it up because when you started with the spoopy season stuff, I was like, where did that come from?
Let's Jeff put it in there, or he sent it in an email. And I'm like,
oh, okay. Yeah, it's like it just came up mostly with like cute Halloween animal memes. Like started, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That was, yeah, like, you know, just like a baby word for spooky, or a cute word for spooky, I guess.
Hey, breaking,
there's some rapper chick named Spoopy.
Breaking news, I gotta interrupt. I just got a text from, you know, I work with Jared Yamamoto, he's the producer of our radio show, and breaking news about Britney Spears. Her Instagram page, Jeff, you better go get her quickly.
Look at Jeff. She finally went full nude on one of those pictures.
Yeah, because her father's not controlling her life anymore, which means she's going to spiral out of control. Yeah.
Let the countdown begin.
End up in a ditch somewhere. Yeah, look at that.
It's a matter of time.
I'm going to have OnlyFans, y'all.
Christ. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. Spoopiness. Jeff's going to be distracted the rest of the show.
Hey, number eight is the best one.
Yeah, I'm agreeing.
Sorry, 8 and 10.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's a whole spread. It's not just one picture.
Hey, y'all.
Next thing you know, she'll be shaving her head again and hitting people with an umbrella.
Yeah.
Beating the car. Jeff, it's not as exciting to us as that FHM spread that came out, or that Maxim spread that came out back in 19...
Maxim.
Maxim. Remember those horrible pseudo porn magazines? That always bothered me because they'd show women in bikinis or dressed all sexily, but for some reason they didn't have nipples.
Well, it was weird because the layout for all those magazines was like a mirror image of a layout for a porn mag.
Yeah.
Like the same kind of glossy, the same kind of, you know, paper stock and everything else.
Well, no, Hustler had the best paper stock. The pages.
Well, it had to be durable.
Together. Yeah, they wouldn't stick together. You could wipe them off. Or not, and they wouldn't, you know, would ruin what you had going anyway.
Yeah, when you find a Hustler in the woods, you hit, you know, it's going to be out there for a while, so the pages
got to withstand the swell. Yeah.
Hey, I lift a Hustler out here for you. All right, I don't want to go down. This is disgusting. We're talking about spoopy season. Spoopy, spoopy, spoopy. So I thought it'd be fun. Jeff didn't do it, but I hope he has one.
I thought we were doing one per week. I didn't know we were supposed to do
that. Was my confusion. Yeah, I didn't know if you meant one, so I just put one on there in case.
Yeah, one per week. Let's all pick one classic horror scary movie.
Each
as a recommendation at the top.
I didn't know we were each. I thought we were each taking turns picking one for every week.
But 1986's The Fly is one of those creepy, spooky movies to me that's still creepy and spooky. It stars Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis, written and directed by David Cronenberg. The David Cronenberg name ought to tell you right away that it's going to be fucked up. It's got a slow build and it's creepy. It's scary. Goldblum sells it very, very well. Davis plays his girlfriend perfectly. His slow evolution into madness as he's turning into a fly. Now, the plot of it is he's trying to build the teleportation device. He gets in the teleportation device. There's a fly in it. And when he goes from one pod to the next, his genes splice with the fly. And then, of course, he turns into a fly, a giant human fly hybrid, which is more insect than not. And
do the rest of the recap as Jeff Goldblum.
It's still watchable and oddly still scary because my takeaway was see, it doesn't sound like him at all.
Yeah, it sounds like him.
I'd have to take my fingernails and teeth out, and that's always a gorgeous thing, you know. Brundle fly, watch me. No, him throwing up on the donuts to break them down so he could eat them. I mean, it had all those elements that still, those kind of things bother me more than a slasher. Like a slasher, oh, he's coming out from behind the sheets, or he's coming out from behind a curtain, he's going to stab me. Okay, great, you got a slasher movie. But a guy turning into a fly.
That puke and stuff was the stuff that bugged me the most of the whole movie.
Yeah, the medicine cabinet bugged me the most.
Oh, God, yeah. What is that, when his fingernails are falling out? Or his
fingernails are falling out and his teeth are falling out. And then he goes to pick up his teeth to put them in the medicine cabinet with the rest of the stuff that's fallen off of him. And the uncut version has his dick in a little cup.
Really?
Yeah. And they've cut it out. Cronenberg couldn't pass that up.
Cronenberg is a creepy motherfucker.
Yeah, his kid is too. His kid's making movies now. And it's almost like Cronenberg was just reincarnated and started over again.
You ever see Dead Ringers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a very, very, that's in some ways more disturbing than The Fly. Very, very disgusting, actually. the twin gynecologists and the one so crazy, he makes the creepy metal devices. Anyway, yeah, there's a story about that. I think I've told it before. Haven't I told that story before, Jeff, when we all went to my mom's house? And anyway, I don't want to go down there. So, yeah, Gross Factor is off the scales. There was a sequel made to The Fly starring
Eric Stoltz.
And I believe he's his son, right?
Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah, it's the son that she finds out she's pregnant at the end of the first one.
Right.
Yeah. And he grows up. He's yeah, but he, that's the thing. He was fine. He was a genius. and he didn't have the problems that they were worried about he was going to have in the first movie.
But until he did.
And she had that, what was it, big giant maggot in the delivery room. And that was Cronenberg delivering the baby.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. He usually does a cameo in all of his movies.
Well, that's my recommendation. So getting spooky season started off on the right foot or leg.
Let's see. Mine is 1980s The Fog.
Ah, good choice.
John Carpenter, the original John Carpenter, starring Adrienne Barbeau, Jamie Lee Curtis, and her mom, Janet Leigh.
Awesome.
Written and directed by John Carpenter, you know, music as well by John Carpenter.
Doesn't his wife do the music or did he do it?
They both do. Yeah. And I think they both do on a lot of the earlier ones when she was credited, it was him and her, and he gave her all the credit for those. But yeah, you know, I always liked the parts that bothered me most were the zombie ghosts with the glowing eyes coming out of the fog. But, you know, the story's based on, it's 100-year anniversary of this town that was, and the founding of this town, which you come to find out the founding of the town was done at the cost of an entire shipload of lepers' lives. Those lepers, you know, come back 100 years later to reclaim their gold that they paid to have this section of the island to themselves as a leper colony. And instead of doing that, the town men took them and killed them, you know, burned them all in the ship and took their gold to start their town. So they're coming back 100 years later in the fog to enact revenge.
Wow.
Good story.
It is a good story. That movie scared me when I was a little kid watching it on HBO.
Yeah, I always try to watch it as, you know, I've watched it recently. I tried watching the remake they made. What was it 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
And just doesn't hold up. I mean, Carpenter really, his style is what makes that movie scary. And you put it in somebody else's hands. And I mean, they followed it pretty much shot for shot on a lot of stuff, but it just doesn't have the same effect with someone else doing it.
I think the same thing about Halloween. When you watch that original John Carpenter Halloween, you get the feeling that it's fall and you get that feeling of things are dying and the air is crisp and the leaves have fallen and kids are going trick-or-treating. And that is part, like the town is also a character in the film and it's scary. And I think with the fog, the same thing. The fog is a character and you get that weird feeling that you're there. I don't know. That's the best I can say about it, but... Where is it? Where can you watch it? By the way, you can watch The Fly on Amazon Prime, but you got to pay, but it's on a whole bunch of different things.
You can watch The Fog on Amazon, but it's on Prime for free on the Prime portion. Yeah.
Awesome. Jeff, you got one?
I have to say American Werewolf in London.
Oh, okay.
Good one.
John Landis movie. He wrote it in like 1970, but he couldn't get it made. He sat on it for a long time until like after Kentucky Fried Movie and Animal House.
Yeah.
He finally got some clout. He was able to get it made finally.
One of the first mashups of comedy and horror that actually worked, you know, seamlessly. You know, it was funny, but there was also some real scary shit in it, right?
And great special effects for the time.
Who did those? Rick Baker?
Yeah, I don't know if that was Rick Baker or not. Let me see.
It might be. They recently had a Gilbert Gottfried Amazing Colossal podcast with Griffin Dunn. It's a repeat, but Griffin Dunn was on it.
Yeah, it was Rick Baker.
Yeah, and he was talking about that film and how much makeup he had to wear, and he dies, and of course he comes back, you know, throughout the film. He was attacked and killed by a werewolf. Great film. Oh my God, another one that you watched back when it came out. When did it come out? 82, 83?
81, I think.
81, okay. That's another one. Like right when we got HBO in our little town and these movies played over and over again, the first time you'd watch it, you know, when I'd watch horror movies at Jeff's and then have to walk home by the scary cemetery or through the woods, just be scared. Oh, there's something's going to get me. All right, so that's our spoopy season. It's begun for all the shows in October. To the end of the month, we will start off talking about a horror film or an eerie, creepy film that's perfect for the season. So let's take a break and come back and we'll talk about some news and shit. Hey, you hungry? I got an idea for you. Why don't you go to Atlanta Pizza & Euro? That's Atlanta Pizza & Euro in Conyers, Georgia. That's right. They have delicious pizza and delicious gyros. We've been there a bunch of times. We've done a couple of shows there. We've done a couple of meet and greets there. In fact, we're planning on going back sometime in November or sometime in the fall to do another like live recording, and more on that when we know more about it. But first things first, let's talk about Atlanta Pizza and Gyro. They have brand new options for you. They have gluten-free crusts, vegan cheese, and as always, they have a lot of great local craft beers at reasonable prices. Now, Steph, don't they have a food truck?
They do have a food truck, and we all want to catch a ride in this food truck, like big time. Yeah. And I think they've done a few things so far that went very well, he said. Mm-hmm. And just to go back, though, the craft beer thing that you were talking about, I had some really good beer the last time I was there. I was like, okay. I think it was Tropicalia or something. I'd never had it before. And now that's like one of my favorite beers. So they have,
hell yeah.
I think that's what it was. But they have really great beers there. And Mike, he likes to bring you around the little taster. Let you take a little sip. You don't have to buy the whole thing. You know, maybe you don't know. He'll like, here, take a sip. And then you can get it if you want to. That's what I love about them.
I don't mind a little beer every now and then. A good tasty brew to go with your pizza. And okay. Hey, keep it Dustin in the family.
Just had a pizza.
Yeah, Dustin, let's keep it in the family. I was just about to say that. Now, someone in your family works there.
Yeah, my oldest son, Rylan, he's a server there. So when you walk in and you see a 6'5" dude come up and ask you what you want to eat, that's my son. He enjoys it. He loves the people there. It's a great atmosphere. You know, they've had long existing customers that come in there, you know, all the time. It's like a family. It's kind of like a cheer situation. He loves working there.
And he's bringing home free pizzas too, right?
Yeah, that's a perk from time to time. But
Mike Hall has been a supporter of Radio Labyrinth for a very long time, and we thank him for that. Mike and his lovely wife have always supported us, and couldn't find a nicer couple. And we would like everybody to patronize the restaurant, which is in Conyers, and maybe Dustin will be there. How about that? It's AtlantaPizzaGyro.com if you want to find out more about it. Look at the menu and try it. I mean, it's good pizza. So
it's great pizza. Killer crust, killer cheese. He has great sauce. I mean, I haven't tried the vegan pizza yet, which I don't know. You know, I'm sure that Mike is going to make it wonderful.
Right.
No matter what it is.
Does it have pepperoni on it?
No.
Oh.
It's vegan.
Oh.
They make vegan pepperoni.
I'm sure it's delicious. I'm sure vegan pepperoni is delicious. But now on a vegan, can't you use Beyond Meat? And it's sort of like meat, but it isn't.
There's a lot more alternatives than they used to be. That's for sure.
You can use the Impossible Bat.
Don't bring Mike does not put bat in his pizza.
Mike does not want people thinking that he puts Impossible Bat in his pizza. So please, I mean, not even real bat, let alone Impossible Bat. Check out Atlanta Pizza and Gyro there on Facebook. And they are, and the links are all here for you to click on and to go check it out. That's AtlantaPizzaGyro.com.
Now we're back.
We are back with some news and shit. So there's a lot going on as far as the UK and all their contributions to pop culture and entertainment. First of all, the Broccoli family, Barbara Broccoli, who is a producer of the James Bond series. They still have a lot of control over that. The hunt for the next James Bond will begin in 2022, which is next year. This is the last James Bond movie with Daniel Craig. And I don't know that I'm interested in seeing it. It looks like too much of an action film, but
Everybody's saying it's totally worth waiting this whole time for.
Yeah, that's the thing. I really respect the shit out of them for not putting it out last year, or, you know, they're going to put it in movie theaters and, you know, you'll probably be able to watch it streaming too eventually or right away. I don't know, but putting it in a movie theater, because a movie like that you want to see, but I don't know. I saw the trailer. I'm like, okay, he's wrapping it up. There's some, you know, the good looking chick is kick ass. The not as good looking chick is the one he's banging. I don't know. It's James Bond. I like womanizing James Bond, but go ahead.
I like the way that they're actually tying back in all of Craig's storylines are, you know, this is kind of like the end of a trilogy Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they're bringing back a lot of characters. The story arc is still there from his first one. Mm-hmm. So at least it keeps the same story as opposed to trying to, you know, wrap you into a new villain or a new set. It's actually going to be a continuation, which to me is a better idea than the piecemeal Bond movies they've done in the past, where everyone was for the most part a standalone story.
Yeah, yeah. But to defend that, I kind of like that. There was always a new wacky weirdo, and they did do callbacks with that Jaws guy. He was in a couple of the movies. They were campy and goofy, and I get it. Even the 60s ones that were parodied by Austin Powers, you know, the ones with Sean Connery.
That's why Connery left, you remember, was because they were getting so campy that mm-hmm. he didn't care for him. But he did that. He did Never Say Never Again.
Yes.
And his wife, did you know his wife named that movie?
No, I didn't.
Because he said he would never do it again. And but when he accepted it finally, she said, you know, you said you'd never, you know, never say never again. And mm-hmm. then he took it to them and they changed the title of the movie.
Was he actually James Bond in that? Or was it, I don't remember. I thought maybe that it wasn't really part of the James Bond canon.
Oh, as far as, was it a book?
No, was he James Bond in that movie?
Probably 007. So.
Okay. I just don't recall. I've only seen that once or twice. I mean, to be totally honest, I'm not a huge fan of all the James Bond movies. I think out of the modern ones, I like the Timothy Dalton ones, and most people don't like those, but I like the two Timothy Dalton James Bond movies. I also like Remington Steele. He did a good job with the movies, and they kept that campy thing. It wasn't until Craig came along that they became serious, you know, Bourne type action films, and lost a lot of that humor value, because Daniel Craig is super serious. He's not cheeky at all. I don't know. So I thought it'd be fun if we just real quick, who would our choices be to be the next James Bond, knowing full well it won't be a male. But I say Rupert Grint, who's from Harry Potter. You know, Ron Weasley, I think he'd be great. I also think he'd be a good Doctor Who, but that'll never happen either. But I think he's cheeky. He's fit enough. He's old enough. I think he'd be great.
My choice is Ricky Gervais.
Oh,
threw his hat in the ring with his tuxedo photo on Twitter.
He'd be great.
That would be good.
Think about Ricky Gervais. Yeah, he'd be fantastic. He'd have to tone down the snark somewhat, but I think he'd be really good. He's a good actor, so.
Well, I was going less campy. Henry Cavill,
mm-hmm.
Superman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've asked him to be in the next, you know, people are asking him, you know, would you be the next James Bond? And he said he would not take the role, but he would take the role of the next villain. He would like to be the villain in it, which after the, Mission Impossible?
Mm-hmm.
I think he could pull that off pretty well. Wasn't that the one where he did the bathroom fight?
He was also on The Tudors, if you watched that show about Tudors and Henry
VIII.
Yeah, he was Henry VIII's best friend. Mm. And I thought he was great in that, so he can pull that off. Yeah, he'd be good too.
Hey, if you're going to go with American, somebody like Rob Lowe could be James Bond, but I don't know if they'll ever go with American.
Too old.
I don't know if he's too old. I don't see him. I see for the comedy portion, yeah, I could see him pulling that off. But the action stuff, yeah, I think he's probably way too old. Even with a stunt double.
Rainn Wilson should be the next James. Wrong. So, look for the new James Bond search to begin next year. And hopefully it'll be somebody that everybody likes. But you know, it won't be. It'll be a marketing campaign and everybody will fight about it on social media. So look forward to that. Russell T. Davies, the showrunner from Doctor Who, is returning to the series to be the showrunner again. He will be back. He's the one, Jeff, who, correct me if I'm wrong, he returned. He came when the show returned with Chris Eccleston, right?
Yeah.
And he was a writer or a showrunner?
He was the showrunner back then. He was the one that rebooted it.
Yeah, okay.
Christopher Eccleston. And then he stuck around for quite a while.
He left before, when did he leave? During Matt Smith?
No, I think when David Tennant left, maybe he left.
Okay, so he wasn't around for the Matt Smith. But that arc from the beginning of Chris Eccleston all the way to the end of David Tennant, those are so good. All those episodes are really, really good. And a lot of the Matt Smith episodes are really, really good. And I even liked, Peter Capaldi. I liked him a lot. I don't like the modern version. She's a good actress, by the way. The woman who plays Doctor Who now. What's her name? Do you know?
Nah, I forget what her name is.
Yeah, she's a good actress. And it has more to do with the writing and the content and the direction and, you know, the blaming of everything in history on the people who used to run things, whatever. There's always a message in the show that's much bigger than the old message, which was always a morality tale. So I just haven't been interested in it. And I'm hoping that this will happen. Another thing that I thought they could do is they could have the next time Doctor Who regenerates, it could turn into Bobby Ewing, and then all the previous three or four seasons would be dream.
Yeah, it just pops up in the shower.
Yeah. Hey, baby.
Bobby.
Do you watch Doctor Who, Dustin?
No, I watched when it was rebooted. I watched that first season and it was good. I just, yeah. It was never something that I compulsively watched. Like, you know, I watched Star Trek, but that was as far as I took it. I didn't jump onto Doctor Who.
It scared me when I was a kid. The music did. So, you know, it would come on PBS. It would always scare me. Like, oh, I can't watch this. And I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't get into it. I watched Star Trek, but I didn't watch Doctor Who because it frightened me. So anyway, that's good. That'll happen soon. And my boss is a huge Doctor Who fan, but he's angry. So he only watches the takedown videos, which I stopped doing because it's too much negativity to watch a guy for an hour bitch about something that he doesn't like. Okay, I get it. You don't like Star Wars. I could say the same thing in 5 minutes. And I'll like,
come on here and make Ted Lasso takedown videos.
I didn't make a takedown video. And I also said that I like Ted Lasso. I like the character. I love Jason Sudeikis. I like all of it. I just don't like some of the writing and some of the storylines. To me, it's too sappy and too in your face. Curb Your Enthusiasm is returning to HBO on October 24th. I hope there is a nice tribute to Bob Einstein. Wouldn't that be nice? Bob Einstein, of course, Super Dave Osborne, who played Funkhauser, passed away early last year, I think, it was during the pandemic, wasn't it? Right before.
Right before.
One of the funniest men to ever grace television, funny writer, funny performer, Super Dave, can't beat that. Was great as Funkhauser, was a great foil for Larry David. Hopefully there's a tribute to him. And one good thing is what's his name will be back. I'm having a hard time thinking of his name right this second. You know what I'm talking
Richard about. Lewis.
Yes, Richard Lewis is back. And I'm sure it'll be a funny season. Have you seen any trailers or anything?
No, not yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so October 24th. The Book of Boba Fett premiere date is announced. Ooh, December 29th. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
We'll have to get WRO back on once we see what he's doing on there.
Now, is he on the, he'll be on the Book of Boba Fett because he's on Tatooine, right?
Yeah, that's Tatooine. I think that's what he was referring to last time we did the interview with him, where he said, oh, we're fixing to go back. I think they were going back, not for season two of Mandalorian or three of Mandalorian, but season one of Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, I think so too.
I see they've replaced Gina Carano's character. Yeah,
they were gonna. People were calling for Lucy Lawless to
Lucy Lawless is gonna do it.
A Wheeler in.
No doubt.
She said she was maybe in talks to come back and or to do it.
Yeah.
Then when people were saying, "Oh fuck, Gina Carano, we need to get Lucy Lawless in there," then the people that she was in talks with, she said it just like the conversation just totally dried up after people were clamoring for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't they just bring Gina Carano back, for Christ's sake? She's great. She's a good character. Fucking who cares what she thinks about this or that or what anybody else thinks for that matter. Fuck it. Bring her back. People liked her until they found out who she liked to vote for.
Yeah, which makes no freaking difference to the show or the character or anything else. No,
it doesn't. So let's see. Another piece of news here. There's Eddie Murphy has a 3-picture deal with Amazon on top of his deal with Netflix. So let's just say that Coming to America sequel was successful. And hopefully we get a nice third or fourth act from Eddie.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
They're talking about maybe doing a real another Beverly Hills Cop reboot as part of this, maybe.
That doesn't be cool.
Because that TV show they were going to do fell apart.
That's too bad.
Where Eddie was going to be like the chief in Detroit and his son was going to be the star of the show.
Right.
They could do something like that for another movie.
And they could. I think that it would be great now. With the clout that he got from the Coming to America sequel, he'd be able to reboot that franchise and make it good because it just went like this. Like Beverly Hills Cop 2, Beverly Hills Cop 3 with
Yeah.
Suck.
I hope he does whatever he does. I hope he does it himself and doesn't rely on being prosthetically changed into 16 different characters.
Yeah, but some of that stuff was funny though.
Some of it's funny, but at a certain point it's a crutch. And
yeah.
And I'd rather you get an old, you know, him straightforward being funny as himself, as opposed to, you know, making fun of everybody.
I don't know. If they made another Klumps movie, you'd watch it.
I would. I thought the Klumps movies were funny.
Yeah.
But I get what Dustin's talking about. And that was parodied very well by Jack Black's character in
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah. So good luck. I hope Eddie Murphy comes back with a lot of great stuff. Let's see. There is one more special for Dave Chappelle that's coming to Netflix on October 5th. So I look forward to that.
The Closer.
Yeah, they're saying this might be his last special
on Netflix. I mean, he's not
ever.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Well, there's people are speculating based on the title, The Closer. So,
Well, it could be that it's his last one with Netflix. And
could be.
Yeah. That's his closer. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he'll get a better deal with HBO Max or something. Who knows?
People fucking back the bank truck up to his house to get him to do more eventually.
No doubt. If you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, we have the hookup for you. The name of the company is LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. Not Athens, Greece. The one in Athens, Greece, they're not going to get it to you on time. But the one in Athens, Georgia has been in business since 2005. Steph knows the guy who runs it. He's a cool cat. And they have super fast turnaround and affordable prices. So if you understand what we're talking about and that is something that you're in the market for, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. All right. So let's talk about what we watched and give our staff picks. I really, to be honest, haven't watched an awful lot of TV this week. We did do a JAG where we watched, you know, several episodes of Ted Lasso.
And too bad those will be the last episodes you're ever going to watch.
And yeah, and well, now it'll be on TV and I'll watch it. Caitlin started watching Mayor of Easttown. And so I watched the first episode of that. That looks too sad for me to continue. And I mean, it's great acting, but I'm tired. I don't want to watch something depressing. I want to watch happy, fun shit. And that doesn't look happy and fun to me. So let's see What We Do in the Shadows. Only Murders in the Building is just quietly become my favorite show to watch and look forward to every week. But I do love Reservation Dogs and What We Do in the Shadows. I've been listening to an audiobook that I didn't know existed until a recent episode of Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. So I went and got Kevin Pollak's audiobook and it's amazing. I mean, you could read it, but if you're reading it, you don't get him doing the impressions of everybody he's worked with for the last 30 years. And it is fun. And it is a cool read. And
oh, that's cool.
He does Shatner. He does everybody that he's worked with. And he tells great stories from, you know, how he became a stand-up and you know, pranking his friends, like Paul Reiser calling him up as Peter Falk and leaving messages, or as Alan Arkin and leaving messages and fucking with people. And I didn't know this about Kevin Pollak when he used to listen to Larry King's radio show, which I used to do at night too. And he would call in as different people and always fooled Larry. So I thought that was fun. This is before we got big and everything. Almost finished with that, but I'll recommend it. It's called How I Slept My Way to the Middle. And he's a funny, funny dude. My staff pick, of course, is something I've been waiting a long time to see, The Many Saints of Newark, which premieres, it's already premiered if you're listening to this on Saturday. It's out. So if you're a Sopranos fan and you have HBO Max and you're curious about it, go watch it. Let us know what you think. I know, listen, don't expect a Sopranos episode. Expect a movie with some of the people you see. You know, it's a prequel, but it's not a prequel. It's a standalone film. So I can't wait to watch it.
You getting some gabagool to eat during the movie?
Oh, yeah. I'm getting a big bowl of gabagool and all of it, all that shit, and gravy. I'm going to pour the gravy on the gabagool.
Hey, Carl, where's the gabagool?
The gabagool. Woke up this morning, got some gabagool. Funny TikTok video. All right, that's my stuff.
I didn't watch much either. Well, actually, I did watch, just not a lot of variety of things. I took Steph's staff pick from last week, Midnight Mass on Netflix.
Yeah.
And started watching it and ended up watching all 7 episodes straight through.
Awesome.
That was real. It was really good. And Mike Flanagan, it's his, you know, it's his baby that he's worked on for a long time. You know, you may remember that he did, you know, he's the new go-to for Stephen King movies. You know, he done Dr. Sleep, you know, yeah. Gerald's Game. You know, before this, he's done Oculus, which was a really good horror movie, Hush, which was also a really good horror movie. And he uses a lot of, and he did The Haunting of Hill House and Blythe Manor. So, you know, he's got, you know, definitely a repertoire of good horror behind him. And Stephen King really likes him. But man, you can tell watching this that he is a Stephen King fanatic, because this is so reminiscent of probably 3 or 4 different Stephen King type plots all mixed into one. And he pulls it off really well, really well. It's not as straightforward as you think it would be. It actually has changes that happened like halfway through the series that kind of changed the whole storyline. And, but yeah, it's a very good cast. Again, a lot of the same people that he used in all of his other movies. He finds actors and actresses that he likes, and he keeps going with them. So, I won't spoil anything, but if you haven't had, even if you're a Stephen King fan, or even if you just like good creepy series, it's got 7 episodes, so it's not really big, but they're 50 minutes each, so it's a good afternoon on a Saturday if you want to knock it out. And it's available on Netflix. Watched a few more episodes of Blacklist. Still, you know, digging that show. He is Spader is such a really good actor. And I think I wrote him off years ago with all the kind of crappy stuff he did in the mid late 90s.
Yeah.
That were kind of direct to video stuff. And this really, you know, I wish I'd have jumped on it a lot earlier, because it's really impressive.
He kind of came back after with that show he was on with Shatner.
Austin Legal.
Yeah. After that, he really kind of was back.
Yeah, it's amazing that once he started losing his hair, he started getting a lot. Yeah. His acting started really improving.
You ever see White Castle?
White Castle.
Yeah, it's him and Susan Sarandon, where she's an older waitress and he's a younger guy, and they start banging. It's a nice little independent film from
The big ones that stick out for me with him was Secretary?
Yeah,
that was really good. Yep. And was it Jack's Back?
I don't know that one
from the 80s where he's like a Jack the Ripper type serial killer that's in the back. Yeah, it's in the background. It's really good. He looks kind of that strung out version of James Spader.
He had that indie cred for Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Yeah,
which is a very slow burning early Steven Soderbergh movie that is a total Steven Soderbergh movie. And it just has that weird feel. I mean, the whole thing is just sensual and a lot of good acting, and it's like everybody's sweaty. But no,
I think that's what rolled him into the Secretary so well, was that kind of sexual. He pulls off that sexuality really well. But his main jump was from the movie that you haven't seen, the John Hughes, Pretty in Pink. That was, he was the main bad guy in that one, or villain. Esque character.
I think I need to watch Pretty in Pink one of these days.
And of course, what was the one with Less Than Zero?
Yeah, Less Than Zero.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, he's a prick in that.
Yeah. Let's see. And I watched Foundation. I started watching that on Apple Plus.
Any good?
It's good, but it reminds me
of everything.
Of everything. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's like a mishmash of Dune and of Star Wars and Raised by Wolves. It reminds me a lot of Raised by Wolves in the look and everything too, but it's so colorful. And The Expanse, it's very similar to The Expanse. And I think The Expanse was actually based off of it originally.
I think every sci-fi project of the last 40 years or 50 years has been, had its origins somewhere in this.
Yeah,
Isaac Asimov book.
Yeah, it's, I mean, as far as the factions and how the future is going to split between religion and science, and Yeah, it's really good. I think it'll if it has any staying power, I think it can be something really worth watching. And I don't really have a staff pick this week.
Anybody watched Squid Game yet on Netflix?
I was waiting for Dustin to watch it.
Yeah. I was waiting for Dustin or Steph to watch it so they could let me know. But everybody's saying amazing shit about it.
Yeah, it looks. I mean, it's everybody's saying that. Yeah, it's like Battle Royale. It's closer to Battle Royale than anything else. Which I love. You know, that was a great movie.
Battle Royale was a great movie. And wasn't that the influence for The Hunger Games?
Yeah. When for her to write the books. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see it. It looks pretty good.
I'd rather see Squidbillies come back.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
Me too.
Before you go, Jeff, I have one more recommendation. My friend Rob Turner is on a new podcast called The Umphrey's Wow Show. So if you're a fan of Umphrey's McGee, which is a jam band, and you know they're funky and fun, it is called The Umphrey's Wow Show. You can follow them on Twitter at @UMWowShow, @UMWowShow. So check that out if you're interested in that kind of thing.
Is he going to the Dead Show?
He's working it with with a charity group.
Cool.
So I imagine he'll be there after a certain amount of time, but he'll be working a merch table for one of their charity groups.
Cool.
Go ahead.
I watched the first two episodes of the new season of Survivor.
Good.
So, yeah, it's good. They've done some new shit. I don't like any of the contestants this season. A lot of times there's like a contestant or two that I get behind from the beginning, but this time I don't really like anybody. But that happens from time to time. I watched The Last Reservation Dogs. That was good. That's the season finale, right? Yeah. We talked a little about that with Tubby Earl Brown. I'll be curious to see what they do for next season. And I hope it comes back fast. I don't know how long it's going to take them to do more. Why the Last Man? Anybody watching that?
What's Why the Last Man?
That's where all the men die.
Yeah. Every man
dies except that one guy who's the president's son. That's pretty good. You wouldn't like it.
No. I'm glad you know me.
Normal people would like it though.
I've seen bad reviews for it, which is why I didn't watch it.
Yeah, it's because all you go on woke talk and just you and all your woke buddies, your anti-woke buddies.
Oh, this was like Verge. This was like one of those normal people blogs or woke people blogs.
Yeah, right.
It's hard to convert graphic novels to any type of other medium too.
Yeah, they're doing a good job, and it's an interesting story. It kind of reminds me of that Stephen King book that he wrote with his son, his other son Owen, where all the women were in comas, and it was just men left.
Right, that kind of world.
The opposite of that. Morning Show. I'm sticking with that. Season 2, episode 2. It's pretty good. Only Murders in the Building. Lots of plot development on this most recent one. No spoilers, but we're getting maybe an idea who the murderer might be. I started watching season 3 of Doom Patrol. That's been consistently
good. Love that show. You've been watching it all.
I think back when it started, it was either you had to pick either Titans or Doom Patrol, and I went to Doom Patrol. But now I'm fucking loving Titans, man. I watched all of season 1, all of season 2, and I'm starting season 3 of Titans.
I like how kick-ass it is.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. I see you watched La Brea. How was that?
Yeah, it's like it's terrible.
I saw in the trailer, you wrote on the show notes, you wrote that it's Land of the Lost 2021. And I'm looking at the trailer going, this is Land of the Lost. Isn't that what's his name's wife from or girlfriend from Justified?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The actress in it. Never mind. Sorry to derail you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I wasn't planning on watching it. I saw the commercials and I'm like NBC, Network, sci-fi show.
Right.
This is going to be awful. And I was just thinking that in my head. But then in all my Land of the Lost groups, everyone's saying, oh, you got to check it out. It's modern day Land of the Lost. So I watched it, and it's modern day Land of the Lost. They like
there's Sleestak,
not really Sleestak yet, but there's crazy wolf creatures and pterodactyls and shit.
All right.
Yeah.
That of you.
What's it on?
Yeah. It's on NBC.
Okay.
Network NBC. And my staff pick is on Netflix, new show called Made, starring Margaret Qualley and Andy McDowell.
Okay.
And I am I'm going to give it 3 episodes, and if she doesn't appear in a maid's outfit by episode 3, I'm out.
Isn't Margaret Qualley her daughter?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah, she was in the Tarantino movie about Manson. All right. Well, that's everybody's what we watched in staff picks. So before we wrap, it's time for
Hello America. Once again, it's time for your favorite pastime. Which one will they choose? Play along with this week's edition of Views or Snooze. Take it away, Jeff.
Views or Snooze.
All Netflix edition today. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's all Netflix shows this week. The first one is, we were talking about a little earlier, Britney versus Spears. This is the documentary on Netflix about Britney Spears and her dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Views for me.
It's a Snooze for me. There's already been 2 or 3 of these I've already watched. I don't need another one.
It'll be a Snooze for me, but man, did they miss the nail on this one when they create something about trying to break up that conservatorship and it breaks up before the show even airs.
Yeah. Number 2 is Diana, the musical. This is the filming of the Broadway show. It was supposed to open on Broadway, but it got, the pandemic ruined everything.
Right.
So rather than opening, they kept the actors in a bubble, and they staged a complete production of the play and filmed it. And now they're putting it on Netflix, and it's about Princess Diana.
Okay.
And it's a musical.
Snooze.
Yeah, you're all over that, Tim.
Oh, yeah, right. Nothing I like better than talking about a woman who died 20 years ago.
No, nothing better than singing about a lady that died 20 years ago.
24 years ago, actually.
You love Princess Diana and you know it.
Hey, I watched her wedding, the first one. Live.
I know you did.
Yeah, Prince Charles. I was at Theron Pierce's house.
And the next one is The Guilty. This is the Antoine Fuqua, directed by a story by the True Detective guy, Nick Pizzolatto. I don't know how you pronounce his last name, but
I don't know anything about it. I have to look into it.
This is like an adaptation they did of some show that they were both into from like Denmark or something.
Uh-huh.
This looks pretty cool.
This is a Jake Gyllenhaal thing?
Yeah, Paul Dano, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Yeah, that looks, the previews look really good for that. I'll view that one. Yeah.
Skarsgård alert, though.
Skarsgård.
There's a Skarsgård in it.
It's a Views for me too. I think just the director and screenwriter alone gets a Views for me.
Yeah, I think I'll give it a Views, at least one episode. Unless it's a movie, then I'll watch the first half hour. Is it a movie? It's a series or a movie? What is it?
It's a movie.
Okay, then yes, I will give it a View. All right, Views or Snooze. And once again, thank you to Roby Neely for the intro to that. We will be back next week. Make sure that if you're watching this on YouTube, you subscribe and you like it and do all that stuff. And if you are listening to us, please rate us and review us on whatever platform you choose. iTunes is the preferred one because they actually measure things, but it doesn't matter. Listen however you like. We're not going to tell you what to do. If you're looking to adopt a rescue pet, no harm in checking out BarkvilleDogRescue.org. And, you could follow Stephanie on her various social media outlets to follow what's going on with them. And again, that's BarkviewDogRescue.org. We will be back next week, always working on new material and new content for you guys as far as Radio Labyrinth Presents. We don't yet know what the next one will be, but we are working on new interviews and things like that. And if it won't be a new interview, well, we'll dig in the archives and find an old interview. Thanks again. Go ahead.
Happy birthday to Rockdale Tiger.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Rockdale Tiger.
Hey, happy birthday, Dean.
Yeah, and maybe by your next birthday, there'll be another episode of Mike TV.
Or you can just listen to this week's episode. It'll take him till next birthday to finish it.
Yeah, that's right. more stuff we'll talk about next week for sure as far as getting together before the end of the year. We want to do another viewing party hangout together, but we'll talk about that more next week. And until that time, please remember to Keep it canon. Here at Radio Labyrinth, we are supported by Patreon. That's right. And our top Patreon donors are called producers. And we have a slew of them. And I want to read their names and thank them right now because we haven't done that in a while. First of all, Chris Chandler, thank you very much. And if you guys want to weigh in on any of these people, please jump in.
The former quarterback, right, for the Falcons. It's not that Chris Chandler.
No, it's not Crystal Chandelier. It is not Crystal Chandelier, but it is Chris Chandler. It's also not WSB's Chris Chandler. It's a different Chris Chandler. There's lots of Chris Chandlers, as it turns out.
Our Patreon's the best Chris Chandler.
It is the best.
Absolutely. And the best Brett Perkins in the country is also one of our Patreon members.
Big buttery Brett.
Big buttery Brett. Butter him up. Todd Ellis, thank you very much for donating. Roby Neely, who you can hear from time to time on the always consistent Mike TV podcast, which is on our channel, hosted by Lisa Krause and Dean. Yeah,
and shout out to Roby too, because he was just in a car accident. He's okay.
I saw that.
Oh no.
Yeah,
that sucks. But no, Dean and Lisa do a good job when they actually do the show, and Roby is a good contributor to that show. So check it out. If you've never listened, go through our little back archive, and they do really, 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 really deep dives. Another Patreon producer, Tim Slayton, thank you very much. Yeah. Brian Smith, who he and his fiance are getting married in October on Halloween, and is a Halloween-themed wedding. I hope I get to go. But if not, I wish them the best. They're great, great peeps, and they're big supporters of Dragon Con. Usually see them down there. Didn't get to this year. John Sutherland, great dude. We've known him for quite a while. Been a supporter for a very long time. John, thank you very much. He got me a real cool gift one year. I drew a Kiss drawing for him, and he got it framed or put in glass. It was really cool.
He was great in MASH, too.
Yes, he was. Really good in MASH. Mike D. Thank you, Mike D. We've always said it that way. Emily Hine Warren, who will be joining us because she donated to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the WSB Carathon. And one of the packages was you get to sit in and watch us do Radio Labyrinth on Zoom. So she'll be doing that very soon.
And because she's Emily Hine Warren.
Well, yeah, she's awesome. Yeah. Buck Monterey, want to thank you very much. Another longtime producer.
I always feel like he played Archie on All in the Family.
You think? Matt Carter, thank you very much. Matt Carter, another longtime sponsor, and also
a sweet, 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 wonderful man.
Yes, he is. Mike Hall, who we mentioned, he's also a sponsor. And longtime donor, Eric Malmstrom. He's always funny on social media and supports us and interacts with us. And last but not least, Mr. Chad Shepard, who gave us this, the Red Box Troll, another longtime donor, former intern of mine, coworker, really nice
Shep.
And he's awesome. And there we go. Yeah, look at that pop out like a green penis. if you'd like to be a Patreon member, we have different levels, and those levels change from time to time. But what's always consistent is if you come in as a producer, that's $25 a month. You off the bat, you get to pick one of our T-shirts. So now would be a good time, because in a couple of weeks, well, while you're watching this, odds are we're going to have a new T-shirt or something that you want, and those links will all be made available to you. So thank you guys, and we appreciate it very much.
Please hang up and try again.